Howdy do, buckaroos. Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. It is the most festive edition. This is Monday, December 23rd, 2019's episode. Happy holidays to all of you. Housekeeping note, this will be it until Thursday. So there will be no show tomorrow and there will be no show on Wednesday. I'm your host, Kelly Gamont. With me today, I have Dave Hamilton. Hi, Dave.
Hey, Kelly. Thanks for having me.
Glad you're here. And also with me today, I have Andrew Orr. Hi, Andrew.
Hey, happy pre-holiday.
Yes, it is pre-holiday as we're all warming up for that. Actually, Andrew, I'd like to start with you and talk a little bit about this article that that I sent your way and went, wow, we really ought to talk about this. And then said I was probably understating it. And then you texted me back in all caps, something that I can't say on the show because I don't want to have to edit. So tell us about this.
Yeah, so basically, I think this was either Thursday or Friday, but the New York Times released this pretty explosive, in my words, piece about location data. And I know we've talked about location tracking and data in the past, but basically they stumbled upon this database of location data that was, of course, not secured. So they were, you know, just as part of their investigation, they were able to use this data to track not only two members of the Secret Service, but also, I think, a Department of Defense official, some CIA agents leaving for home because, you know, in the CIA building, they have to turn all mobile devices off. Mm-hmm. So they had to track them while they were leaving for home. But, you know, that's still obviously very crazy.
Still not great. Yeah. And then The thing that was interesting to me about this overall was the part where basically, like, very, very early in the article, they say, yeah, so you know how they say it's anonymous? Let me tell you exactly how anonymous this is.
Yeah. Yeah, because, you know, you kind of see that in some privacy policies sometimes. Like, you might see the phrase, this location or this data may be used by some companies, but you don't really know what because they don't give details.
Well, and we've gotten numb to those warnings where we just say, yeah, okay, whatever. You know, like, yeah.
Yeah.
And then off it goes. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and so in this specific database, they said it contained 50 billion location pings from the phones of more than 12 million Americans.
Wow.
So this is pretty scary. And they didn't say which location company was responsible for this, that this database belonged to. I did actually talk to one of the reporters on Twitter, but they said naming this company would compromise their sources for the story. Mm-hmm. So we don't know who this is.
We don't know the name of the company, but we know it's a company that tracks location data. Like, this is a thing that if you write an app and you don't want to have to build all the location stuff yourself, you can contract with one of these other companies to be doing that information work for you. And
yeah,
so that's sort of who this is. This isn't, it's not a cell carrier. It's not Angry Birds, right? It's some other sort of company. And their whole business model is we do this for, and then, you know, charge access to that data so you can integrate that without having to build all of the location stuff that you want to use from scratch. So, and those companies are common, and most of them are benevolent.
Right, but they have the location, they have the meta version of the data, right?
Right.
If I'm app developer Dave, and I subscribe to, you know, one of these companies' services, databases, software as a service, if you will, I probably only get to see the data for my users, right?
Right.
But if Kelly, the app developer, and Andrew, the app developer, and, you know, 100 other the app developers subscribe to the same database, if they do have all that data. Now, hopefully they keep it secure, but clearly not. And it's not really private either. I mean, I think even if they just had location data, that's still very easy to figure out who specifically that is, right?
Well, but they proved it.
Yeah, exactly. Well, but they even talk about, they're like, look, you know, we, without much effort, we spotted visitors to the estates of like Johnny Depp and Tiger Woods and Schwarzenegger. Well, if you look at that data, and computers happen to be really good at this kind of crunching, but if you say, look, I want to find Arnold Schwarzenegger's cell phone and then be able to cross-reference that and track everywhere he's been, you just say, okay, well, find me all the people that routinely are at Arnold Schwarzenegger's house, and specifically not at the house on these dates when we know he's traveling somewhere else. Mm-hmm. And then, boom, process of elimination very, very quickly says, yeah, here's the whatever their device ID identifier, you know, is of that phone, and boom, we're done. And now we can know where he is, you know, anywhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, and the collection of metadata, I think, is basically even more important or as important as data, because metadata, you know, data about data, I would have to look this up again, but I'm pretty sure someone from the NSA had said metadata is still good enough to kill someone based on in a war. So even if it's not directly tracking you, think other data about you is still very important, and that can be used.
Mm-hmm. And crazy.
In one way, and the thing about, like, generally the thing about this to me was, you know, like we talked about, this is just a company that does this, and they don't talk about how they obtained the file, but they say they obtained a file. And the thing to me that was also interesting about it was, if you sort of, I mean, I can't, but if you sort of ballpark, like, they know this is 12 million people's data, and it's 50 billion location pings from, let's say, 12 million devices. That's a lot of information per person. Which is a lot.
Which is why I really wish they would have named the company, but obviously I respect the anonymity of sources. Mm-hmm. But the impression that I got was, this isn't really some company that releases its own product to the consumer. This is probably a company that falls under the name of Data Broker, which buys and sells this type of data to other companies so they can build this kind of network like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's, you know, honestly, like, my first reaction in reading through this was complete disbelief, and then sort of going back through it was, you know, this is what Google's been trying to do all along, and, you know, and this is what Facebook hopes for, you know, which is part of what triggered the last time we talked about location data was, you know, Facebook looking at your messages. And, you know, if you say, I'm at Lloyd Center, which is a mall here in Portland, then Facebook will up, you know, if you send that in a Facebook message to somebody, then Facebook will update your location, like they add it to your user record or something. So, you know, even that stuff, like, you know, that at least is an upfront thing that's happening. This here and this date, this file that the New York Times got a hold of is so much more than that. Because it's people who don't even realize. And, you know, like, what happens if somebody wants into that company who shouldn't have access to that information?
Well, the fact that the New York Times has this database means that the data gets out to people that should not have it. Right? Mm-hmm. I mean, like, someone gave this to the New York Times, but they weren't supposed to.
Right. But, however they got it, the New York Times has something that regardless of how it happened, they shouldn't have.
Yeah, it was never intended. Mm-hmm. Whether there was a law broken or not is hard to say, and I'm not even going to speculate. Although,
right. But it's not their data. The New York Times didn't create this database.
Correct.
The end.
Yeah. So. The end, right? Yeah.
Well,
exactly.
I mean, they're journalists. There's a reason the word they used was obtained. Like, that's the best I can do, right? You know, they didn't say somebody handed this to us. They didn't say, like, somebody they uploaded it to our Telegram account, you know, or whatever. Yeah, not what happened. So, obtained is the word they use for a reason. And, like, it's not the New York Times' data. So, is it good that they're reporting on it? Oh, yeah. It's very, very good. Mm-hmm. And I liked all of the stuff that went into this. Like, there's... another link out of the piece that says freaked out, 3 steps to protect your phone. And they talk about other things like how they went into analyzing the data and the other stuff that they did as part of this larger project. That to me was also really interesting. But the fact that they're giving you these options and telling you, like, here's some stuff that you can do to make sure that this doesn't continue to happen and things like that. I thought that was really helpful, but yeah, it's still, I'm way more freaked out that this exists than I am that the New York Times told me about it. I guess that's where I am.
Yeah, well, I think is that was their intention with this, was to, I mean, it's the New York Times. They don't always get things right, but they usually do, you know, and I think they positioned this one correctly. Like, hey, here's a thing that we know that theoretically anybody could know, including some bad actors that are willing to pay for it.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that speaks to this kind of bigger picture where you basically have two different things when you're very concerned about privacy. There is corporate surveillance versus government surveillance. And I think most corporate surveillance is we want to track you in order to sell you ads, which can be malign or benign depending on your point of view. But when it gets in the hands of governments, that is when the scary things happen. And when I read this article, I don't know if it was used by governments or not, but when I read it, I said, well, if New York Times reporters are able to use this, you can probably bet that governments have been using it as well.
Right. If they have a hold of it, it sounds like this is something that is part of an app. So it would have to be like an app that the government released or wants you to install. And they didn't say if it was only iOS or if it was only Android phones. So I'm assuming it's just cell phones. So, you know, there could be flip phones as part of this data or feature phones, you know, whatever you want to call them. Because those still do still exist. So, you know, the fact that you don't have a new iPhone or don't have an iPhone at all, like, doesn't protect you from what this is doing. And and I think, you know, the New York Times shining a light on this is exactly what the New York Times should have been doing. You know, when they got it, it was sort of obvious that was what was going to happen, I imagine. And by extension, I think it's good that we're talking about it because this is definitely a thing that that should get attention. This is why we talk about security stuff on the show, so people know. And as Andrew pointed out in his article, it's a little difficult to read because they've done some interactive stuff with it that is really frustrating. We'll probably talk about that another day soon, Andrew.
I'm curious, though, like, thinking about this. Okay, so now the New York Times sort of shows us a thing that we probably could have sat down and deduced ourselves. Like, this is absolutely believable. Like, I don't think there's anyone that would read this New York Times story and say, ha, balderdash, they made it up. Like, as soon as I read it, it's like, of course this could happen, right?
Yeah.
Like, you know, I never sat and thought about it before because I try not to sit and think about what would cause the world to end. But this is totally plausible. I mean, if they made it up, it is actually happening somewhere else. Right. They just, you know, they just cooked it up. But I don't think they cooked it up. It's realistic.
Yeah.
So now I sit and think, what do I do to protect myself about this? And, you know, the first thing that comes to mind is all the weather apps that I have tried or even the one or few that I use. I like what, for example, Dark Sky does, where it warns me that it's going to start raining soon or stop raining soon near where I am. In order to do that, I have to grant Dark Sky permission to know my location even when the app is not running.
Right.
And I like that feature. But, you know, convenience and privacy are not bedfellows, right?
Correct.
They live at opposite
ends
of the continuum.
you made a trade when you bought the, you made a trade when you bought your smartphone, whatever it is. You made a little bit of a trade.
Even when I launched the Dark Sky app, like I made a trade. I could turn off everything except that, and this hole is wide open. Potentially. Mm-hmm. I don't know what Dark Sky uses, but that's the kind of thing. And then think about all of the convenience stuff that comes with various different apps that you trust, developers you might even know personally. But again, they're farming out some of this stuff to these data brokers, like what Axion and there's the other one, Ground Truth. And then anybody that puts ads into their app is now allowing essentially your location data, VIP address, and maybe even deeper to be shared there, right? So this is, it's like Pandora's box is open. I don't know, like, I don't know that I even want it to be closed. Like, right? Like, I don't want this to exist, but I sure like what Dark Sky does for me.
Yeah.
You know, like, do I really want to, like, stop it? Of course, we can't stop it, but I don't even know that we want to. Like, this is the problem. Is we're now in a world where this is a cost of doing business.
Yeah.
I don't know that I like what I'm thinking about right now. So, yeah.
Well, and there's a lot to that, you know, because then everything turns into a question of trust. Like, do I trust Dark Sky with my location information? Do I trust that Dark Sky isn't using a company in China to track American cell phone locations? Do I trust that?
It's their cheapest data broker they could get, right?
Right.
Like, I mean,
and then it's all the way down. Do I trust that whatever company Dark Sky is using is going to keep my data safe? Do I trust that blah? Do I trust that blah? Do I trust that they're not going to fire somebody on a Thursday afternoon? That person's going to get mad and take a USB drive out with them that will rain fire on every person who ever installed that app. Like, there's so much to that equation, and I think a lot of us just sort of put our heads down and tap okay.
That's what we do. Now, the flip side of that is, okay, let's say that someone can see everywhere that I've been. I mean, I've let Dark Sky do this, so I have to assume, like, this isn't, that part of it's eyes wide open. The data broker thing, you could certainly say, well, I didn't really ever think about that. But the Dark Sky part, I've let them see it. So I've known that certainly the developers of Dark Sky, if they wanted to track Dave Hamilton, they could. They could know where I am. Now I open that up willingly to my family and a few friends and coworkers. And I know that even when I do that, like if somebody gets your phone, Kelly, they could see where I am, right? You know, there are attack vectors for that. And it's like, well, okay, this isn't so much what am I doing? I'm not doing anything wrong, so I don't care. But if somebody really wanted to track me, you know, they could. This isn't the only way. They could literally follow me around. I'm not sure there is enough here to make most of us say this has to stop, even though we would prefer it not to be the case. We understand why it's the case, and we're probably going to continue to let it be the case, even though we don't like it. That's the tough part about this. Yeah.
I mean, two things. So first, just to be fair to developers, even if they have analytics listed in their privacy policy, that doesn't necessarily mean they're using it for bad purposes.
Right.
They could use analytics for trying to figure out what went wrong if you had a bug in their app, for example. But like you kind of mentioned earlier, I do notice that with a lot of these data breaches that are happening, a weather app is often mentioned in these articles, like that's where they got your location is with this weather app.
Yeah, because you're allowing hyper-local access to your weather or to your location.
Because I don't care if it's raining down the street. I care if it's raining here.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a tough thing. I know. And it's we are not... Our privacy is not nearly what it was. Is really the point that this drives home.
Yes.
Yeah.
Really, that's what it comes down to. honestly.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. It's that rude awakening that, you know, again, we could have deduced this if we sat down and said, hey, do you ever think about where your location data might be stored?
Yeah.
You know, like, but now somebody else asked that question and answered it. And it's possible that this use of it in the New York Times to you know, do these graphs and all in aggregate and, you know, to be the basis for this story, it's possible that that use of it, of this particular set of location data, is the first quote unquote off-label use that's ever happened, right? There's nothing in this article saying that whatever company it was that shall remain unnamed did anything else wrong with your data. Like, this would be considered wrong. Like, I would assume that the New York Times should never get access to my weather data just because I use Dark Sky or a million other weather apps, right?
Right.
But other than that, like, maybe this is the first time anything bad has ever happened with that data.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Won't be the last, but maybe the first. So.
Well, part of the problem is, you know, like you said, Dave, avoiding it, good luck, basically. You know,
well, you got to make some tough decisions is what that's about.
Right. Yeah. And then there's, you know, installing VPNs and things like that. And there's no legislation about this. And it would have to be federal. You know, I live near a state line. Dave lives near a state line. So I'm only actually protected if I go to Washington or if I stay in Oregon. You know, like, that isn't going to work. It's going to have to be a federal level thing. And
a VPN wouldn't solve this because they're getting location data from GPS.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. From cell phone pings, like from you know, the functionality of being able to make a phone call from wherever it is that you are.
No, even GPS for my weather app, it's using the GPS circuit in my phone. So that's like actual location. Yeah.
If it's not weather and there's other stuff, VPNs could help with that. But generally, you know, what do you want it for? Like, when I think about what I use location, what I allow to have location data on my phone, it's my weather app, Hi Carrot Weather, and it's maps, like Apple Maps for driving directions, because I just want to know, is there a wreck between me and where I'm going? Or is the traffic really bad this way, so I should go that way? Okay. Like, I look when I'm in my driveway, and then I generally don't use it the rest of the time. So if I don't need it, like, it's not on, but I do look frequently. So that, like, when I think about it, like, those are things that are not going to be some third party middleman kind of thing. Like, there's a reason it needs to know exactly where I am, you know, not like sometimes, you know, you open up your browser and, like, maybe you do a web search for something and then it's like, do you want this near you? And then it gives you all stuff that's like 10 miles away. This happens to me regularly. You know, like, this is not that, where it's like trying to make a guess and sort of hoping that's where you are. Like, that information on that level is not useful to me, because I don't care if it's raining in Gresham. I don't care if it's raining in Vancouver. I don't care if it's raining in Oregon City. I care if it's raining here in Portland where I live. So that kind of stuff is harder to track, harder to manage, because there's stuff that you want to have access to exactly where you are. And this is going to be, it's going to be very interesting to see how this continues, particularly because this is very much the Wild West still. As a person who lives there, I can tell you, it very much is like, there are no laws. This is all kind of making it up as we go along. Like, nobody said we couldn't, you know, which seems to be Facebook's defense, like, all the time. Nobody said not to. So this is definitely a conversation we're going to have to continue to have. I do want to give each of you, I'm going to put you kind of on the spot so that we can give people a brief holiday from TDO on a positive note. That is a gift pick. So a good gift pick for somebody. I'm going to tell you that my gift pick this year is, for some people, is a wireless charging unit, whether it's a pad, so your phone lays flat on it, or it's a stand that props up. A lot of people got new phones this year, and for some people, this may be the first wirelessly charging phone they have. So giving somebody the opportunity to not have to mess with the cable anymore is pretty great. And how do I know this? Because I was all set to get my stepdad a wireless charger for his new iPhone 11. And it turned out that he just took my mom's. And so he's been using hers and does think it's great. But now, like, I don't have a present for him. So I had to think of something else. So that would be my gift pick, is something like that that makes it very easy for somebody to make sure that their phone is continuing to power up. Dave, how about you?
Well, I'm assuming that we've missed the opportunity to buy something because today is already Festivus, so you've already given your gifts and all of that.
That's true.
Are there other holidays this week? I think maybe. But my pick, perhaps for yourself, if you want to get yourself something after the holidays when all of this is said and done, or for a friend or loved one, is Anker's PowerPort Atom 3 Slim. This thing is awesome. I've been using it for about, I don't know, 3 or 4 weeks. It's just now become available again on Amazon, so you can get it. But it's got 3 USB-A ports and 1 USB-C port with 45 watts of power delivery. And it's about as thick as your iPhone and smaller than your iPhone. It's a square size device. Really lightweight. It's using that new gallium, forget which it is, the gallium nitride instead of silicon, so that it can be smaller and lighter and generate less heat and all of that stuff. So it would be great on your desk. It'd be great on your nightstand. And it's awesome. I speak from personal experience in my travel bag because it's light and it will power everything. My laptop, my phone, my iPad, my watch, all of it. And so that's my new favorite hotness. So there you go.
Yes.
I'll put a link. I'll give you a link for the show notes.
Oh, yes. There will absolutely be a link in the show notes. And it's super great for charging like crazy, like Dave said. There's 1 USB-C port. So this is a really good tool for people who are phasing that in. Maybe there's a new iPad on the horizon or a recent laptop.
Yeah, I was going to say your MacBooks or MacBook Pros all have it. Yeah, MacBook Airs. Yeah.
And this will charge them. Not everything will charge them and smaller devices. A lot of things will do like they're high powered for a laptop, but there's only one port or things like that. So, yeah, this is definitely. Yeah, I've had my eye on one of these for a while, but I haven't had enough travel lately to justify like a different travel power setup. So this is very, very cool. Andrew, how about you?
Yeah, so I'm going to write an article about this later, but the newest thing that Apple is advertising is that if you have an Apple store nearby and it offers same-day courier delivery through December 24 at 4 p.m. your local time, Apple is offering free same-day delivery, and they specifically say within 2 hours. So you're buying an Apple Watch, iPad, iPhone, or Mac, you can potentially get that with free shipping within a couple hours.
And delivery. So
that's pretty impressive. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Not just shipping. Like, yeah. Somebody in one of those t-shirts is probably going to show up at your house and be like, hi, here's your watch. Yeah. Yeah. If you're going for a big ticket item, that's good. If you want something that's a smaller ticket item. Dave and I have ideas for you. I hope all of you have a Merry Christmas. If that's what you're celebrating. If not, Happy Hanukkah, because I know we're having Hanukkah right now as well. I will let you know that Tuesday and Wednesday, there will not be a Daily Observations podcast. We will be back on Boxing Day, which is Thursday. So we will talk to you Thursday and Friday this week. I want to thank both of you for being here today. Dave, thanks so much for coming by.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
And Andrew, thanks for being here, as always, to shine a light on security issues.
Yeah, thanks for having me, and happy holidays.
And that's gonna do it for us for the next couple of days. I will talk to you again on Thursday. In the meantime, Merry Christmas, and be excellent to each other.